test.
Not if you went to
the University of Texas, it doesn't.
Oh, you come here?
Oh, well, it's a wonderful place then. Did you? God almighty, you sure came out pretty good from going there. I'm just kidding. Test. Although my favorite bumper sticker is when, oh, this was 35 years ago, I was driving out to Indiana, they used to have these bumper stickers. And it was T Sips and Queers, no place but TU. Do you remember that? And then I thought, thank God I go to TU. You remember that bumper sticker?
I do remember.
I thought, man, I'm glad I'm a T Sip. Yeah, there's KT.
Right.
He told me he wasn't going to make it. He was going to come by phone. I said, there's no by phone.
There's no by
phone. You got here. You're scurried.
There is no try, only two.
Oh, yes.
Yoga.
So I don't think we need to have much of a discussion. I think the city attorney should be appointed by city council.
You
need
to. I think that's it. And we have some.
So we're done.
Are we done?
We're already done with that taker.
Fantastic. I'm ready to go home. I'm tired.
That'll work for me.
I didn't sleep well.
Yeah.
Good. Good evening, everyone.
Good morning, Tom. Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Whatever time it is.
Buenos noches.
Second morning. We're starting our second.
Yeah. Second morning.
All right. Well, there's Matt.
Yeah, I knew Matt was coming because we were both over at Joe's.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, Matt.
Hey.
Yes. So I was surprised that what was helpful about the documents you sent was about how little of the city attorney wants.
Yes.
Basically, 1% of 92 hours.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, it was
you know, in Austin, you sometimes have to ask people two or three or four times in a row before they're ready to move to your board.
I think you got lost in some religious group, right? I don't.
So
I think
are
you
ready
can
to
pass it. It's got more
to call the meeting to order?
Yep.
Okay, so first order of business, do we have any citizens? Any citizen communication?
Yeah. We have approval of the minutes from the January 8th. In January 11th meetings, which are attached to the agenda.
I move approval of both sets of minutes.
I second. All in favor?
I have to abstain from last week, so. But otherwise,
yeah.
It's a 1.5 approval.
Okay, minutes are approved. So our new business, we have the reports of the city attorney and boards of commissions. Working group. That was Matt, DAO, and myself. And you should have two reports in the packet there from our working group, along with one report from the campaign finance working group. The first report is the report on the city attorney, which I figured we could tackle that issue first. And then the other two reports were on the independent ethics commission and then some other issues that we wanted to present on the topic, general topic of boards and commissions. So I'll present the city attorney first. As a reminder of the portion of the charter that we're talking about, this is in section 5, or article 5, section 6. Currently, our city attorney is appointed by the city manager. And the report that was sent out earlier today kind of gave a summary of a survey of kind of comparable cities, what other cities in Texas are doing, some background on the prior ballot issue that was presented to voters in 2012, and then a summary of the arguments for and against. I don't know if you guys want me to kind of discuss the findings or if everybody had a chance to read the report, and if so, we could just move straight to the discussion.
I read the report.
Okay.
I thought that was what compelled the arguments.
Yeah.
So why don't we just move straight into discussion, you guys can.
I would appreciate you going over some of the key topics.
Sure. So what I found when I started researching is that the city of Austin is an outlier in terms of other Texas cities and how our city attorney is appointed. So currently our city attorney is appointed by the city manager.
And there's only about 6% of Texas cities that do it that way. And the source of my information, by the way, Terrell Blodgett is a professor at LBJ.
He is the guru of all gurus.
Right. And he has a survey that was originally done in 1994 that's focused on home rule cities and city charters. It was updated in 2008 by Charles Eck, who's a municipal attorney out of San Antonio, and then it was updated again in 2010. And I attached the full 2010 report, which I apologize for sending, but I was going to just send you page 66, which actually contained all the relevant information, but I wanted to make sure everybody had full report.
It's actually a useful document.
It is. Yeah, it really is. So page 66 of his report was the summary of his findings on how other cities in Texas appoint their city attorney. The vast majority of cities, 73%, have the city council appoint their city attorney. And then there are some other options, which if you look at the report, we have kind of five options listed here. Option one is the status quo with no charter revisions. Recommended, the city attorney would continue to be appointed by the city manager. And as I mentioned, there's about 6% of Texas cities that do it that way. Option two would be that the city council appoints the city attorney. That's what the vast majority, 73% of Texas cities do. Option three is that the city manager selects the city attorney with council approval. About 9% of Texas cities do it that way. Option four is the city council appoints the city attorney, which is about 3% of Texas cities do it that way. And then option five is the mayor, which
is
7%.
Strong mayor system.
And typically in a strong mayor system, for example, that's how it's done in Houston. I don't know that option five is really one that applies for our purposes or would work for our city. So the 2012 Charter Review Commission did recommend that the city attorney should be appointed by city council.
14 to 1.
The commission approved it by a vote of 14 to 1. The city council adopted that recommendation, and it was on the ballot in 2012. And it failed by a margin of 50.63 voting no and 49.73% voting yes.
So
a very slim
yeah.
margin.
Less than 0.5%, yeah.
That it failed by. And, you know, there are kind of various arguments on either side of the issue. The people who support council appointing the city attorney argue that it's an important step for accountability because the city attorney is, or the city council rather, is getting the advice kind of in an unfiltered way, whereas if it goes through a city manager, there's some concerns that it could be filtered in some way or that the city council would not get the full range of legal advice that they needed to get. Kind of the most persuasive argument that I found on the opposite side is that you can set up a conflict between the city manager and the city attorney. And, you know, I think it's kind of similar to what we do now with the city auditor's office. And I don't know how the dynamic would necessarily be different with a city manager and a city attorney, but I do think that you're setting up a potential for conflict there.
And the city auditor, if I remember right, was on the ballot in 2012 to make it her, the office, report to the council, and it passed. And I think it was close, but I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
I think you're right, Fred, but I don't remember.
It passed, I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Jessica, back in at like one of the first meetings, we were just shooting the breeze about this, you objected to the
yeah.
city attorney moving it. You answered your objections.
Well,
could you pause?
I don't think that any of these options is, it's not a perfect system. And I think the nature of the city attorney giving advice is that there are conflicts, there are competing interests. And so I don't know that there's a perfect system. I think my concern with having the city attorney report directly to council was that there would be
In my mind, the city attorney should be removed from politics. They should be able to give pure legal advice as to what is the right course of action. And having the city attorney report to the city manager kind of is what made sense to me for removing them as much as possible from the political process. In reading some of the articles and kind of what had happened historically with our council, I don't know that that it always functioned in that way. So I will say I'm not convinced that any of these is a perfect option. I think it will require kind of constant attention and balancing, probably.
I do think that some of the concerns that are listed by people who think it should stay with the city manager could be addressed by writing the specifications. So one of the arguments from the people that wanted to keep it a city manager, they were arguing that it would become a strictly political appointment. But I think that you can write the same requirements in there that we have right now. It has to have so many, such and such degrees, so many years of experience in this, that, and the other. So you can write the qualifications in the charter language. I also think that the idea of making it a 5-year term or whatever is longer than the current city council term gives it some kind of insulation from being a yo-yo between now this mayor and council is in charge and now this one.
Right,
so
that's actually a very good idea.
Right. So I think if you write the requirements a certain way, you can get around the idea of it being a political appointment. One of the reasons why I am in favor of having this a position appointed by council is because we are still under a city manager system, and we are clearly not going to go to a council system at this point. But because Austin is the big city it is right now, I do think there needs to be more of a balance. And having certain entities appointed by council as opposed to the city manager helps with that balance. That's also why I think that the independent ethics commission would be very, very important. You just want to get to the point where you don't have everything run out of one office, which in Austin, as long as I've been, the city manager has been basically running the council.
And not to beat a horse that I've agreed to drop, but it sort of helps solve some of the, that was mixing metaphors, wasn't it? But anyway, it sort of helps, I've been dropping horses everywhere, but anyway. It sort of helps to solve some of the problem of the manager having too much control with not enough oversight.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think some of the arguments against it are actually arguments for it.
I would also say I have informally surveyed a number of current and former council members as well as former mayors, and almost to a person,
absolutely,
they want this and they say it's a good idea, and they're frustrated with the existing system. So if we care what our council and mayors think, I think, you know, they would like to see this change.
I think the biggest argument for a change is the fact that certain reports did not go out when they should have gone out because it was controlled by the city manager. And council, not even council, didn't have the information that they needed to take care of fairly urgent matters.
And so if we have a majority consensus, I mean, it sounds like kind of everyone's rallying around option two, and so if we have a majority consensus on a recommendation, I'm happy to go back and draft up a formal recommendation and we can consider
that's
it. Right.
That's an excellent idea. I think that would be your direction to take from this. I'm not sure we need a formal vote.
And I think your ideas were spot on. Put in some features that will help.
Make sure that the person has experience and that their term overlaps.
Right. And I think you actually have language in here what the qualifications, I think what they currently are, it's in the charter, shall be a competent attorney. Now, how do we know they're competent?
Their light arrows are revealed.
I promise you, that isn't true.
Some of it is already in the charter. We don't need to change it that much.
No.
I mean, maybe we can add some language, and it does say in here that in the state of Texas, that's important. We could add
some municipal law experience,
yeah, maybe. But yeah. I think the qualifications don't have to change as much. It's just who does the selecting.
Yeah. I wouldn't get too specific on like they have to practice in Texas. Or, I mean, it's probably a great idea that they practice in Texas. It's probably a good idea to have certain experience. But I think at the same time, you want the council to have as much flexibility to hire the best person they can find.
Probably true, and I'm not a lawyer.
They do need to be licensed in the state.
It would help if they practice here a while, too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, that's currently written.
I think some vary with the local government code, I think, you know.
Mm-hmm. We don't want there to be a one-year learning curve.
Right.
I will probably work off the 2012
sure, as a starting
proposal
point.
As a starting point, and then bring that back also to the thought of it. We can decide which meeting that on.
One thing checked up, isn't it?
Well, does anyone else have any concerns, debate, discussion about the city administration? Okay, then I will turn it over to Diego for his report on boards and commissions.
So my report, I focus mainly on the Independent Ethics Committee, which is going to overlap a lot with what Fred is doing. For my report, I mainly use the information from the Institute for Local Government, understanding the role of ethics commissions. They break it down real nice. In several different jurisdictions in California that have independent ethics committees. They break down everything from their duties, their responsibilities, to their staffing costs, and everything in between. So using that and knowing that Fred was going to also go over this, I kind of just tried to find three key points that we differ the most from in these other ethics commissions, and those include appointment, enforcement, and staff. And many of the other things, we already have a lot of the same ethics bylaws that they do. It's just that it's part of the city as opposed to being an independent commission. And so looking at appointment, right now we have it to where all 11 members are appointed by a council member, whereas many other cities have it to where they include a board of supervisors, city attorney, district attorney, assessor, controller, and various other stakeholders in the appointment process to ensure that there is more independence, which I think is something that we should consider as well. And then it comes to enforcement. Part of the reason that we are looking at the boards and commissions is if people are on boards and commissions that shouldn't be on boards and commissions, how do we get them off that? And one of those answers would be an independent ethics commission. And in order for them to be able to have any sort of say in that, they need to have some sort of enforcement power within their bylaws. So like the city of Los Angeles, the ethics commission can request appointment of a special prosecutor for criminal enforcement if the city attorney is conflicted. Right now we work through the city attorney for a lot of the hearings. An independent council or commission should be able to seek other counsel besides the city attorney. Something that's granted to several other commissions is also subpoena power. Our commission was granted that in 2017, but it has been drawn back most recently with the Austin Monitor situation. And then lastly is staff. So with the Independent Ethics Commissions comes staff directly dedicated to them. There's a little chart on the back kind of breaking down how the different cities in, or different jurisdictions in California did that along with annual budgets. So that kind of just fills in the gaps from what we've already been working on in the Independent Ethics Commission.
And if I could add something, Seattle's budget's about $700,000.
That's $700,000.
And they have about an 8 board, so.
And also in that last table was a really good commissions and staff relations that kind of gives you an idea of how the executive director is chosen in each of them. Each of them is slightly different, and who the executive director has to answer to or how they can be removed as well is slightly different in each of those.
Again, it looked like a really logical way of doing it. One thing I liked especially is that you had listed in the report all these responsibilities are currently spread over 4 or 5 different offices. And I think that what makes it more difficult to really trace a problem was if everything was handled in one entity, you'd have better oversight. And the idea that they're independent, it's just a really, to me, very interesting. I'd like that.
Would you expand on the issues surrounding subpoena power? Just glanced over it briefly. You said that our current ethics commission has subpoena power?
Yeah, they were granted subpoena power in 2017, but in regards to whistleblowers, that it was retracted. So that they can't give out the identities of that. So now our subpoena power for
That's a state law issue. Yeah.
It's restricted strictly to public information, written information that is available to the public at large via the Public Information Act. So that's all they can subpoena.
And can I say this as a lawyer, other lawyers, if you are seeking documents that are incriminating, you better have a subpoena or you're not good. Okay. Nobody voluntarily produces incriminating documents unless they're a saint. There are not many of those on this planet. No, I'm just saying that. I mean, for a lawyer, a subpoena is not a big deal. I used to subpoena people's stuff all the time at the Attorney General's office and in private practice. It's just what you have to do.
And the whistleblower issue is settled by state law?
Right, that's what trumped them being able to get certain, to get the identity of the whistleblower. That's protected, so, yeah.
Okay, sure. That's,
okay,
So I think we had a supplemental report, too, from the campaign finance group
on
the Independent Ethics Commission. Do you want to
Right, I'll try not to spend too much time going over it. We made the same recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
I did send to y'all three Ethics Commission laws that are independent because I was told by both by Paul Ryan and Wayne Barnett that they were considered some of the better ones, Seattle, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. There are a lot of similarities, which were pointed out in the study Diego gave you, some of the same similarities. Comprehensive responsibilities in one agency allows for a more effective agency expertise coordination. There are things that we could do with an independent ethics commission. We could have advisory opinions for candidates, which is done at the state level and should be done here. We could provide more advice to candidates and the public. Most people want to comply. Okay, they really do. They just don't know. We could have more proactive policy recommendations if people had more thorough investigation. And then I laid it out, and then we talked about the independent agency. And what makes it independent, really, is that the public member boards are the ones who hire the executive director and remove the executive director. That's what gives it its independence, with, you know, various provisions to protect the executive director from the board, too. I wanted to note, we have experience in Austin with independent agencies. The city auditor's office was granted some sort of independence. And, of course, we have the Independent Citizens Redistricting Board, which cannot be removed by the council, the members, and which the council is required by law to provide them the resources necessary to fulfill their job. And that's obviously because of sometimes those commissions can ruffle feathers of elected officials. The terms, qualifications, and restrictions of commission members, again, you want them to be pretty long, so they have independence. You want to have restrictions. You don't want people that are candidates being on the Ethics Commission, et cetera.
Or that will be candidates within a year.
We're right, but it's, you know, you don't want somebody who's, you know, heavily engaged in the political process. There is provisions in California and Alabama. Alabama, because they had an incredible scandal, and probably some more, where there's an attempt to ensure through the charter or the Constitution that the budget is properly funded of the agency. And that's because, unfortunately, sometimes when these commissions have been doing their job appropriately and investigating people, the powers that be don't like it, and they come back and squeeze the agency. So that, and then the enforcement process, and we can talk about this, Diego. One of the things that Seattle does, and they use the city attorney sometimes, but they do it in-house. We could have the attorneys work for the Ethics Commission, or we could do that. Some of them inside have it done with the city attorney if they're independent. But if the city attorney is not independent, I think for sure the attorneys for the Ethics Commission should work for the
body. And with that, I'll turn it over. Oh, one other thing, I'll turn it over to the other commissioners. The public has doesn't have much faith in ethics commissions because they don't have much faith in the political process, unfortunately. And I don't want to bring up dirty laundry, but unfortunately for the last 20 years, I've watched some of the things at the city. In 1997, there was a petition to finally have initiative to have contribution limits. The city didn't like it, so they refused to validate the petition. They got sued in court. They had to pay the attorney $60,000. It was a very embarrassing case. It's little less corruption if you want to see how happy Judge Sparks was with the city of Austin, Crabview validating petition. In 1999, there was a challenge to the contribution limits in a ballot measure lawsuit. I intervened on behalf of people who supported the initiative. The reason I told you is they did something to the city that I've never seen before and I hope never to see again. The city attorney refused to defend the statute and said they could think of no argument to make. I remember, because I got so angry, I told them to sit down, and they did, in front of the judge. Between 1998 and 2012, the city said it had no jurisdiction over our campaign finance laws. I know I would file complaints at both the Ethics Commission and the city attorney, and neither claim jurisdiction. I will spare you the legal arguments. I didn't find them persuasive. Even if you found them persuasive, it took about a 30-second fix. There's some other things I'll just spare you, but there have been issues whether one thinks things have been politicized or not, but the problem is people think it is, whether it is or isn't, and it's just better to remove that problem. And does anybody else on our committee have anything to add? Martha, Tanya,
Katie? Well, I thought since Diego's report didn't cover a lot on the qualifications, restrictions of commission members, et cetera. We did, you know, have a meeting where we covered some of this, and since some of us have experience with helping to put together the pool, the large pool from which the independent redistricting commission commissioners were selected, I think that having had that experience, I think we could do that. So I like that part of our recommendation. I think it's doable. That we also say that there are some, you know, qualifications or lack of qualifications. We got a very good commission, despite the fact that again we have those restrictions that you couldn't be a lobbyist, a candidate, a current commission holder, a potential candidate for 2 years, etc. And I think it worked pretty well. So I like the model that we use for the independent redistricting commission, having worked on that. So I like that. I think the issue of, again, if we go with an independent city attorney, then I think it would work well. But I'm not sure how that relationship would work and whether I would still support the commission having attorneys or at least access to legal resources other than the city attorney. And I think if we do go that route and we have an independent city attorney, that relationship between that and the ethics commission. And I like Diego's recommendation. We didn't go into their role with boards and commissions, but I think that could be, you know, worked out between the two committees. I think that Diego's right. There's a lot to be done in that area. I see a lot of abuses in that area because we don't have any oversight to speak of, because there's not, you know, there's nobody's really dedicated to doing that, and everybody's very busy doing the work that they have to do. And I guess maybe nobody has a direct mandate.
And I also think, to be candid,
to monitor,
it's embarrassing if a commissioner no longer has qualifications. And it's embarrassing if a commissioner lacks qualifications to serve on the commission.
Right.
And so it can be politically embarrassing. And so you have to have, in my view, an agency or a process which doesn't really take that into account.
Right.
You mean on this commission or just on commissions in general?
Well, I was thinking about people that have been sitting on not this commission.
On board technical.
They've been sitting on Austin's boards and commissions
yes.
without
yeah.
proper qualifications and
right.
them not being removed for years.
Right, and the other thing, you know, there that we need to consider is to have, if not on the charter, still to have more specific guidelines for people that are going to serve on boards and commissions because, you know, right now we don't have any training other than open meetings type training. And so we have people sitting on boards and commissions that are making decisions that can be very detrimental to the bodies that they're supposed to be supervising or monitoring or oversight. And I think that is embarrassing. And then we don't know out of the yanking them out of their chair, you don't have any way of getting them removed.
Well, the council is reluctant to do it, obviously.
Right. And well, another abuse that I've seen lately with district appointments, we just had an appointment that was a very important appointment. I'm not going to mention to what group, but there were fantastic candidates from the district, and the district needed representation. Well, the district is District 5, which happens to be my district. We needed the district representation, and our council person went and appointed somebody from another district, you know, and not, although there were candidates from our district. So there's no guidelines as to if you have qualified candidates from the district, that district needs representation on boards, on a particular board and commission. Obviously, we all do. Then, you know, that should be prioritized if that those candidates are qualified. And so we have a lot of agony going on because now our district has to go poach, you know, somebody else's district to get representation. And I mean, it's just not working out in some cases. You know, not working out too well. So I think that needs to be. I'm glad we're looking at boards and commissions. I got into somebody else's thing. But I specifically wanted to talk about the qualifications and for commission members.
Do you have anything
else
to add? I would be careful adding the city attorney's role to the independent commission, mm-hmm. just in case only one of those two passes.
Oh, I agree. Mm-hmm.
And if the city attorney is not independent and gets appointed to the ethics commission,
mm-hmm.
that might be an issue.
Right.
So I would keep that language pretty
right.
loose.
You know, what you could say is just that they're entitled to have legal counsel that is independent of the city manager.
Right. Yeah.
And that,
right.
way, should, that way, that way, whichever way it
right.
goes.
And I think that language is in our recommendation,
yeah.
if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
It is in our recommendation.
I see where you
just
want the
case.
Commission to have one independent
yeah.
of the independent city.
Well,
I mean,
tend to file prefer that. It's independent.
I mean, not necessarily for everything.
I don't.
It'd be much more efficient to have.
It'd be more efficient to use the city attorney if
yeah.
the city attorney was independent.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I do think that the type of broad jurisdiction we're talking about, different things, that there'll be at least a couple of attorneys that are kept busy full time with this, and they'll be able to develop expertise, which I think is helpful with this sort of esoteric area.
I also really like the idea of basing this on the redistricting commission, just because in a way we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We can explain it easily to people because we've already got one,
right?
And it can work more or less the same way.
Can you elaborate on that for me? The independent commission.
Well, that the ethics commissions would be, you know, obviously the qualifications are a little different, but it's a similar concern that you want to make sure that they're independent of the area that they're regulating and that they're independent of the council. And for the redistricting commission, the concern is about the drawing of districts. Here, the concern is a little different, but the idea is that the structure, in a lot of ways, is almost identical.
It's to create an independent agency, and there are
right.
certain structures.
And we have experience with it, so we can basically say,
yeah.
look, this is how it works, and this is how we're proposing to do ethics, the same way that the redistricting commission works.
I'm not hearing opposition to this general idea, but I have a procedural question about how specific we get in recommending this. Unless I don't mean to preempt anybody that wants to object to the whole idea.
I think we get as specific as we want.
Huh?
I think we get as specific as we want because anything that we
yeah.
don't comment on counts. Down
to the number of commissioners.
I'm with you.
I
think the starting point for me, you know, we do in our ordinance, we are supposed to consolidate ethics review.
Hmm.
Commission on ethics and campaign finance issues. And so, I mean, my proposal at this point would be that we have kind of a general framework of a recommendation that we work with the Ethics Review Commission to get their input on it in crafting our final recommendation. Unless I.
No, no, I just thought that what we were doing on round one on all of these was
yeah.
sort of getting feedback so that we didn't go spend a lot of time going down a trail that nobody was interested
in. That is what we're doing.
And, you know, and I was hoping that our committee could come back with something, you know, more specific
mm-hmm.
and show you, you know, more or less what the language would look like.
So I have some questions. More, I mean, I'm generally supportive, but I have some questions kind of concerning maybe you could provide more feedback, or maybe what you're talking about, the independent commission. So I'm generally very supportive of having an independent ethics commission that has all of these responsibilities, or I don't know what the word is, powers.
Jurisdiction.
Jurisdiction, authority. But I guess my concern is what... I served on the ethics board a long time ago, and it wasn't necessarily always the most... people that have the most experience with the particular matters they're, you know, making decisions on. And so my concern is we're giving a lot of responsibility to a body, but how do we guarantee or make sure that they're going
to... You have qualifications to the membership. So it can range anything from a registered voter to has particular, or has background in this particular field.
Okay, and I think that would be good to make sure that there's a certain... So other than just... You know, a council member that has like, God, I have to find somebody. Oh, I remember my next door neighbor just lost their job. I'll put them on. So yeah, I think that'd be great if you had someone. That never really happened.
Well,
that was just made up.
I mean,
don't look at me like
that.
Don't write about that.
I can't hear you half the time, Matt.
Good.
I'm glad you're speaking up in that, but I'm still having
to. Okay, well, please don't report that. That was just a made up silly example. But then also going to the independence, because if you're talking about they're independent of the field that they're supervising, I mean, that also raises the question of, I mean, and I understand that because that's a tricky thing. We do that with lobbyists. I mean, lobbyists always say we should be there because we're the experts. So I don't want to raise a conflict of interest, but I think there's, you know, we have to balance making sure that they actually understand and they are qualified. Because if they're going to make rulings on what candidates can do, if they're going to make rulings about this, they're going to have subpoena power. And I think we need to make sure that they're qualified than just a typical
mm-hmm.
appointee to a commission.
But again, this is where the executive director and the whatever legal counsel they have come in, they actually are doing the functional investigating. And the executive director has a huge role in making sure that the commission members, at least that's the way it worked with the ICRC, that the commission members understand what they're supposed to be doing. So
I mean, I think that's great, but I think you still want to make sure that the members are not, I mean, you don't want them to just be yes men saying yes to whatever the executive director says. You want them to, I mean, if we're going to do it where these committee members have so much power, I think we need to make sure that they have some sort of qualifications. And the other that also kind of raised another concern is if they're not strongly qualified, then how are they in a position to hire the executive director, which I think that was one of the recommendations.
Well, the sentence we added was, and I don't know how you enforce this, but that they are committed to supporting, you know, and enforcing ethics and campaign finance law, because as Fred pointed out in writing, we all know that a lot of times people are appointed who's, you know, who are the opposite. that.
Oh, no, I think that's great. I mean, my concern is I could get appointed to the Fine Arts Commission if there is one, and I could be committed and go every week, and I have no clue what's going on.
Exactly.
So,
but a lot.
We'll come back with some 12.
Right.
I have some ideas.
Because
I've dealt with this issue, not just at the state in Austin, but I actually helped on Dallas's. I have some ideas of some
language you can use to.
It doesn't require them to be attorneys? No, I don't think we require that.
The other thing is, should the recommendation that comes back have a minimum requirement or suggestion of what staff is necessary?
Yeah.
Because you do need to cover certain areas.
Yeah.
So we should take these two together.
And
this maybe makes us reassess the independent attorney as well. There should probably be it.
I think this also is where, you know, I don't know exactly what process we want to use for consulting with the Ethics Commission, but in terms of the volume that they are dealing with, I think that that could be, you know, I mean, that's obviously going to determine the size of the staff as well as if we go forward with the campaign finance proposal, because if they're going to be administering a voucher system, that's also going to impact the price.
Have we gotten any recommendations from them at all yet?
We haven't. We haven't gone to them with anything to consider at this point.
I do have the numbers of
their
enforcement,
Excellent.
I sent in a public information request. I think I got it back in December. In 2015, there were essentially four matters. One of them was about every member of the Historical Commission. So I just lumped that all. There were four matters.
That was in 2015.
2015 that they heard.
Oh, on a board commission.
In 2016,
wow.
They heard seven. That doesn't mean they heard it all the way through, but it just a complaint was filed. And there were seven in 2017. Two of the complaints, two were financial disclosure statements, six were conflicts, two were campaign finance, seven were brought by the auditor related to employee conflicts and problems. And one I just described as miscellaneous because it was essentially just an allegation of corruption. I didn't know what it had to do with ethics because it didn't have any record. So that's what they did. And there were four punishments. There was one notification. I don't know what that means. One admonition and two reprimands. There were no fines.
Sounds like the Texas Ethics.
It does. I did want to say something. The type of thing I see that this would be good for, and I don't know if you all remember this, in 2014, there was this two-page ad in the Austin American Statement. That's a lot of fun, okay?
Yeah.
And it blasted a political consultant. And it blasted candidates. And nobody could find the money behind it because they hid it. And it was probably, what, $30,000,
$25,000? Yeah. You're talking about the monthly.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And I didn't, okay. So anyway, the long and short of it is hiding money is a bad thing, and that should have been investigated. And the only way to do that is to subpoena people. Okay? That would be an example of a type of investigation that I would think you really need to spend some time on, because you really don't want to encourage people to hide their money.
I was going to say, I think your count is probably higher, because what's currently, what would be done by the Ethics Commission, as the report said, a spread over four or five different agencies. So you polled the Ethics Commission to see how many matters they dealt with, but then there's also many issues did the city clerk have to deal with that had to do with campaign finance over filings, and all the other agencies.
No, there's more stuff. I just wanted to give you a feel on the enforcement.
Right.
Do you have enough? Do you feel like you have enough information from us to go back and come up with something more specific?
I've written a couple of
things. Well, and I knew you did the ICRC. Draft,
I think we have a lot of, we have a pretty good sense of the direction.
I think in, the question of number of complaints and all of that, I don't think we're getting a clear picture because people don't really know where, so I think generally they just complain to their council person. The one in the old days, the one you feel comfortable with, and now you know, you're a council person. I think people just don't know.
Well, I know.
They don't even know that they can complain about boards and commissions.
Well, I know when they didn't have jurisdiction or claimed to not have jurisdiction over campaign finance, after about 3 complaints, I stopped filing. Because if you're not
right.
going to
people
take it up,
really
I was
know.
I had better things to do with my life.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the budget? I know you've got some data in here on this, but this goes to the council. They're going to want to know what they have to defend. And politically, we get it out there to the voters. We're basically setting up a new bureaucracy. Where are they going to look at it? And how much is that going to cost? And it's going to be an item that has to be funded every time.
And we are required to put that in our recommendation. Well, I mean, the council has asked that we put in the estimated fiscal budgetary impact for each proposal.
Well, I need to send a Public Information Act request to the various officials to find out how many people are now working under the 4 different entities.
Yeah, it could be a wash.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
This is not something that city staff could find out without going through a Public Information Act.
Well, it could, but there's 4 different ones. I mean, I'd be happy if
there's 4. Yeah, there's 4 different places.
I'd be happy if people help
rolling into this. So, and the language for the ICRC talks about, you know, appropriate and sufficient funds, and the commission can ask for more money if it feels like it doesn't have enough. So,
yeah,
you can always have that language in there.
Right, but city council will ask, what is this going to cost us?
Sure.
So, I looked at.
I was going to look at
yeah.
Seattle and some other cities that are more along our size and see what it is. I just haven't had a chance to come back. I'm hoping we can keep it around 500,000 or something.
Cheap attorneys.
Cheap in quality or is it a price?
Okay. Well, does anyone else have any additional comments or direction on the Independent Ethics Commission?
I'm curious how the two committees that were working on this separately want to come together on this.
Yeah, how do you? That's a good idea.
Diego, I'll let you.
Fred, you know more than I do.
Sure.
How do you want to come together on this? I'm happy to do whatever I need to do.
Well, why don't you? Will we have a quorum if you meet with
yeah,
us?
I would suggest that Diego.
Why don't you meet with us? Can you make sure to send me his email, and we'll meet together, and we'll just bring you in on whatever working group.
If it were all there, is that not?
Not that's fine. So we're okay. We're one short.
Okay.
That's why I was asking her about not coming.
I don't think you want to be meeting with Fred. He wants to meet every day. Are you sure that what you want to meet every day? But they're very efficient meetings.
Thanks.
That's where I made sure and had my own committee. So
yeah, I knew that.
You know me too well.
Does anyone else have anything else on the Independent Ethics Commission before we move on the schedule?
I just will try to bring back something in 2 weeks, certainly on Seattle, we'll try our best to come back on the Independent Commission. We'll just see if we can get it done in 2 weeks.
Okay.
You mean on the financing?
Yeah, we'll try to get both back with
okay.
some specificity,
okay.
but I'm not promising the Independent Commission because it's a lot of work.
So our next meeting will be next Monday, and Rogers.
We're going to have a report.
Great.
Or at least that's our hope.
Okay, excellent.
It's in very much shell form at this point,
good.
In the back of my head.
And do you want to tell them there's 2 other things I want to
start somewhere.
Yeah.
Do you want to have a presentation about possibly some minor tweaks on the budget process? I was talking about Frank Rodriguez, the former budget director, has come up with stuff. And assuming you have enough time, he could probably present something for 10 or 15 minutes. And there were some people that had an interest in that.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is, as I raised to you, I personally would like to look at, there's a provision from 1985 that says, although employees are supposed to get a retirement, the city council cannot get a retirement. So you can work for the city. And I just don't understand that. And I think it's a leftover for when they used to get paid nothing.
But I don't know how you ask somebody at 40 or 35 to work 12 years or 8 years as a council member or mayor and have no retirement during that period, nothing.
So how long are you anticipating roughly that your presentation might go next week?
20 minutes.
Okay. And so if we leave, you know, an hour or so for this.
I mean, quite frankly, we've all been researching, and what we're going to bring you is the three of our ideas primarily because our research is turning up crickets.
Okay. Well, what I'm thinking is if everyone's okay going 6:30 to 8:30 next Monday, then I think that that leaves us enough time if we want to hear the presentation on the budget, and then I'm happy to prepare a one-page little report on the pension.
Will you do that? Will
you
check and see what other cities are doing?
Because
that seems awfully harsh.
Yeah.
Yes, and that can be on the agenda for next Monday.
Yeah, that's,
even
that's
if we're not taking action on the last two items, we can at least present them.
And can I guess I'll ask Frank Rodriguez to come since he's really, and just tell him, what, 10 minutes or something, something like that.
This is about the independent.
Well, to have it's to provide some budget resources on the council side so that they can verify budget parts.
So they can earmark.
So it would be a modification to the charter with regard to the budget?
Right, it would give some resources and access to documents to the council so they can make sure that that they fully understand the budget and its ramifications.
So then the next meeting after the 29th that we'll have is February 5th, and that is going to be the next meeting where we discuss campaign finance and the voucher system. I'm anticipating that we'll use that entire meeting to discuss the voucher.
I'm guessing
will be on February 5th.
And you don't think we're going to have time to do the Independent Ethics Commission, so we should just punt it to the next.
Since your group is doing both of those, I'm wondering if we should
try
to spread those out a bit.
Yeah, we probably should.
And the 5th is also a Monday, correct?
The 5th is a Monday.
Yeah.
And then we'll have a meeting on the 12th as well. Why don't we evaluate, Fred, where you guys are next Monday, and we can determine the agenda for the 5th.
Yeah, we maybe play around with which one of those we want to come up with first, whether or not
that's true.
Or the vouchers, because in my
charter language, a little bit of charter language.
Well, I'm just saying we might want to actually come back to this ethics commission.
It may be easier to do the ethics commission.
Yeah. I think you're actually right talking about stuff.
And then give us a little more time to work out some of the stuff with the
that may be, maybe that's,
and come back on the 12th.
Well, I think that's
we'll
a good idea.
The campaign finance proposal has a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, it does.
And so the other issue that we need to kind of address is the public meetings. Mm-hmm. And do we have any information on
not
dates
yet. We're
and
working on contacting different locations to see what options are available. So we're thinking maybe coming back maybe on your February meeting. I don't know if we can get it by next week, but to February 5th with just a list of possible locations and
The other thing I would love to get knocked out at the next meeting is the staff recommendations on the harmonization of language, the kind of clerical
updates
to the charter.
Yeah.
So everybody can just take
so
a few minutes
to
the next meeting.
That would be on the 29th. Okay. Around again.
Yes, we'll recirculate it for the next meeting.
Thank you.
Okay, does anyone have anything else? Alright, we're adjourned.
I'm going to get